Quasimodo. Y'all know who he is, don't you? That's the hunchback of Notre Dame. We're standing around talking. Hercules spoke up and said, I bet I'm the strongest man in the world. Snow White looked around and said, well, I bet I'm the most beautiful person in the world. Then Quasimodo looked around and quietly said, I suppose that I'm the ugliest man in the world. An old man who had been listening in on their conversation said, there's a psychic on top of the hill up there. Why don't you go up there, each of you in there, and ask her yourself? The three friends agreed, and they walked up to hiked up to the top of the hill, and Hercules went in first and came out a few minutes later and said, I was right. I'm the strongest man in the world. Snow White went in next. She came out a few minutes later and said, I'm also right. I was the most beautiful person in the world. Finally, it was Quasimodo's turn. He went in after a few minutes, came out scratching his head. He looks up at his friends and said, who is Frank Richards? It got good. All the time. Boo. If I didn't know Frank as well as I do, I would say he would have got offended by that. But every chance he gets, he probes and pokes the bear. Every chance he gets. The funniest of all was the time at Pitt Detention Center when the man told me, he said, get out of here, you old Bugs Bunny tooth looking rascal. I don't need you to talk to me. And I walked out and Frank said, what did he tell you? I said, he told me, get out of here, you old Bugs Bunny tooth looking rascal. But remember, just leave it alone. He said, okay, I won't say a word. And we sat down at Krispy Kreme, and a few minutes later, here come Frank around the corner with two straws. I said, Frank, he said, I didn't say a word. All right. Get your Bibles out. We're getting close to the end of all this, and we're going to do something different for the first of the year. Also, for the first of the year, starting on Tuesday nights, and we're going to put this on Facebook, too, for those that can't be here. On Tuesday nights, for at least 13 weeks, maybe longer, I've had a lot of people tell me, ask me, how's the best way to study the Word of God? And so on Tuesday nights for about 13 weeks, we're going to talk about how to study the Word of God. And so it's going to be good. And for those that can't be here because of children or school or whatever, we're going to have it on Facebook. And so you can go look at it. Amen. Is everybody excited to be here? I know Walter is. Let it rip, bro. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. Stand for the reading of the word. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor. Y'all say the whole armor. That you may be able to, the armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand. Stand, therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always, y'all say always, with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Reach your hand this way. Ask God for a special touch and a special anointing. Father, we love you, Lord. We praise your name. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you, God, that you have got all power. We thank you, God, that nothing is impossible for you. We thank you, God, that no matter what, you got us. I ask you right now, Lord, let nothing be said through strife or vainglory, but let everything be said for your glorification and the edification of the body. In the name of Jesus, we pray, and we thank you for it. And the church said, Amen, amen. You can be seated on the way down. Tell somebody, if you're not here after what I'm here after, you'll be here after I'm gone. Tell somebody, I dare you. And it don't count when you say what he said. So let's try it again. Look and smile. Say it slowly. If you're not here after, tell somebody what I'm here after, you'll be here after I'm gone. All right, that's better. Give yourself a hand clap. That was good. All right, just some where we've been coming from. You'll get through this not because you are strong, but because God is. That's why we take communion. Not because you're perfect, but we believe in the perfect sacrifice. And the Lord knows I thank him for that perfect sacrifice. And again, we just read it. Be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. And remember, Jesus said he was going to build his church. Amen. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it, but he can still, although he can't stop the building of the church, he will try to stop the movement of God's church. There's a difference. Listen carefully. There's a difference in reasons and excuses. There's a difference. Oh, you might come up to me or somebody else and you're going to tell me all the reasons, but after a while I realize they're not reasons, they're excuses. God's listening. He's watching. This last day in time, with all this mess that's going on in this world, the election, even before and after the election, no matter who wins, all the stuff that's happening in the world, we don't have time to make excuses why we don't serve God, to make excuses why we don't let him be in control, to make excuses why we don't gather. There are reasons. But remember, there's a difference in a reason and excuse. If you want to do something, you'll make a way. You'll find a reason. If you don't want to go do something, you'll find an excuse. You'll even make up an excuse. So in this last day, I'm here to tell you, as your pastor, and anybody might be listening on Facebook, pay careful attention to what holds you back, because Satan is stopping the movement of God's church. And he will coddle you in an excuse to keep you from having a reason to move forward. That's why I stopped right here with that. I'm going to keep on going. Now, let's keep on going. Let's keep on moving. For our weapons of warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God for the pulling down of strongholds. When Paul said put on the whole armor of God, he was not making the suggestion. He said, did not say cherry pick. He said, put on the whole armor of God. It was a command, the strongest of commands. And so here we go. Get ready. We're going to go through. Remember, there's three categories, and each category has its own set of tools. And so we're going to go through them. We've already gone through them. We're getting ready to end all this, and so it's going to be good. We've taken 21 weeks, I think, to get up to this, to do this, to get to this point. First, there's the armor of consistency, your loin girt about with truth, the breastplate of righteousness, your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Then, the armor of confidence, the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation. Pray on it. Pray over it. And most of all, pray through it. So I guess y'all know where I'm getting ready to go now. Kind of obvious, the armor of communication. We started last week with the sword of the Spirit. The week before last week, we had homecoming last week. Now today, God says, praying always. Praying always. Praying always. I want you to think about that and think about what he's saying. Praying always. Literally means it's two words. Always is two words. When Jesus said, when he's going to send it to the Father, he said, I will be with you always, even to the end of this age. That's the same word. So I want you to think about it now. Jesus ascending to the Father, one of the first times it was used, I will be with you always. The whole period. There won't be a time when I won't be with you. You may not feel me. You may not see me. You may not know I'm there. But I will be with you the whole period. Now, Paul comes along and says, praying always. The whole period. What he's saying is, we don't have to be on our knees all the time. We ain't got to be at the altar all the time. But our life should be made up where we're praying all the time. Paul told the Thessalonians, he said, to pray without ceasing, which means the whole period. Now, I want you to watch something. God says, pray without ceasing. Why does the devil try to stop us from praying without his ceasing? Satan does not want you to pray because he knows that when you pray, something happens. He knows that prayer has nothing to do with your position in the church, has got nothing to do with your position among men. When you pray, it's something special. It's just between you and God. And because it's between you and God, he was going to do his best. Just like God said, pray without ceasing the whole period. When things are good, when things are bad, when things are like I want it to be, when things are not like I want it to be, pray the whole period. One good reason we should pray is God can do more in 1 second than we can do for ourselves in a lifetime. Wow. Prayer is the way we commune with God. Sometimes I pray out loud. Sometimes I pray under my breath. Sometimes I pray in my head. But I do my best to pray every chance I get. If nothing else, it's just, I was talking to somebody the other day and they went, I just don't have time for one of them fancy prayers. And I said, you know, when Peter was sinking on the water, he didn't either. He on that water sinking and go, thou art excellent, O God, and full of majesty. All he said was, Lord, save me. That's all he had time for. Because he was going down. And Jesus reached down and pulled him back up. And they walked back to the boat. Some of y'all in here right now, you need to just take some time and say, Lord, save me. Prayer is the way we commune with God. I'll tell you why. Look, prayer first is powerful. Man is powerful. We're talking to the creator of the universe. I mean, it's very powerful. When my mom was alive on earth, my mom was my prayer partner. My mom, of course, my wife and my children, but I'm talking about my mom. There's nobody like your mom or your dad. And so my mom was my prayer partner. My mom was my faith buddy. But she died in 97. And so many times I wish I could get on that phone and call my mama and say, Mama, this was looking kind of rough. And she'd say, Son, now you know better than that. What did God call you to do? Now you get up and do it. And she said, don't you make any excuses. You get up and get it done. You understand me, son? Don't make me come over there. I thought about the thing and said, Mama, I am so much bigger than you. She was in bad shape too. Both her legs were gone. She had to stay close to the dialysis machine and had to stay close to all this stuff. And she still said, son, I will pick up this dialysis bag. I will get on that wheelchair and I'll ride all the way to your house. And when I get through with you, you will know that your mama still got it. That's gone. But I got a Heavenly Father that I can talk to anytime. I don't have to wait for the telephone. I can just talk because it's powerful. The creator of the universe. And it's responsive because God answers back. He does things. Just this week, let me tell you what happened. My daddy looked after my mama. My mama died at 56. And my daddy looked after her like nobody's business. And I just kept praying, Lord, I was the only one serving the Lord at the time. Of course, with my brothers and sisters, now they all are, but at the time it was just me. And I said, Lord, I need you to look after my dad. He's been so good to mama. Give him long, long, long life and take care of him. He's 84 years old. He's had a heart attack and a stroke and he's all kinds of things, but he always bounces back and comes on back. A couple of months ago, I prayed every day, Lord, touch my dad. Put your angels around him. A couple of months ago, my two brothers, my twin brothers, you can tell the difference in us. They're the ugly ones. They would not agree with me. Okay. They drove up, and when they got in Daddy's yard, they hadn't been there very long, and Daddy started getting into stress, and so they took him to the hospital and stayed with him for a couple of days until they got him back right. I said, Lord, you got to watch out for this old man. He looked after mama. He's in Greensboro. We can't get to him, but you could get to him. D.C. last week, they sent him, they deployed him to the west, to the mountains. It looked like he was going to stay from Monday to Monday. That's what we were planning on, from Monday to Monday. And he got through with what he was doing, and so they were letting him come home early. And so he's coming home, and he says, Daddy, my daddy had his toe, part of his toe removed last week because of an infection. And so he said, give me granddaddy's address. I want to go and see him. I just feel this great need to go see him. He said, okay. And I'm talking to DC on the phone while he gets to granddaddy's. And he says, granddaddy's outside working. He needs to be in the house with his foot raised. I said, he's hard-headed. I know some of us that we missed that part. So DC says, sit down, let's talk. And DC hadn't been there hardly any time when my daddy collapsed in DC lungs. You talk about God, responsive and powerful. God, not only, you know, I thought about that old lady that locked herself out of her car and she couldn't get in her car. And she said, God, you got to help me. Send me somebody and get in my car. And this old motorcycle guy pulled up. He had all kinds of tattoos and all his chains hanging and chains on him. He gets off and says, ma'am, you got a problem? He says, I can't get in my car. She says, hold on. And he reaches in, and she's in there. And he goes, you're my angel. He said, I'm not an angel. I just got out of prison. He said, really? What for? He said, car theft. And she said, not only did God send himself, not only did God answer my prayer, he sent me a professional. Anybody else, Daddy would have died. But he fell right in a senior paramedic's arms. DC called me and said, Daddy, we got a problem. And I said, well, you go ahead and just, he said, I'm not sure. Here's what I think. And I got the stuff to fix it. So call 911. So he called 911, told him what was going on. And by the time they got there, DC still controlled the scene. Once they found out what he did, he was still telling them what to do. But still, DC saved my dad's life. Talk about on time. He says to be in the mountains. He comes home early. He just feels the need. I got it. He told me, he said, I got to stop, Dad. I got to stop. That's because Daddy was going to pass out right in DC's arms. Wow. You tell me God ain't good. Daddy's home today, and he's just as hard-headed as he was before DC went to see him. So, prayer is powerful. Things happen when you pray. Maybe not what you want, but they happen. Prayer is part of the, do you notice that prayer is part of the armor? As God has given all this armor for us to wear, and says, put on the whole armor, as he gives all the armor, then he, at the end, says, and I want you to pray always. Pray always. Because what the armor does is it may clink a little bit. You may be having some rough edges, but when you pray, it smooths everything out. Prayer is like the WD-40. It smooths it all out. Prayer is now you're asking God, and God's helping you to see things that you didn't normally could see and know things you couldn't normally know. We had no idea my daddy was going to go out of here again after he just got back from the hospital with a toe. He told me a couple of days ago, said, they've already let, the home health's already let me go, so I'm doing so great. I don't need them anymore. But when DC pulls in the yard and starts talking, he falls right in his arms. That is God, a powerful God, being responsive. And it's part of that keeping your armor shined up and ready to go. And when I pray, I yield myself to an almighty God. When I was a teenager, believe it or not, some of y'all remember this. I was in high school when Elvis died. Y'all remember when Elvis died? And one of his favorite songs he did in concert, and I used to play it on my record player on a 45. I liked it so good, I'd pull up the arm and slide it to the side of the top that would hold the record so it'd play it over and over and over and over again on that 45. That's not a gun. That's something those people that have been around knows. That's a record. And Elvis was singing, I did it my way. He was always, I did it my way. And I would do the same thing. I'd get there and sing it. And I would be so happy saying I do it my way. And I found out that my way wasn't so great. Once God got through this thick skull, I quit singing, I did it my way. And I said, God, show me. And when you pray, God shows you. Prayer is a powerful force. Man, is it a powerful force. Not only is it a powerful force, it's life-changing. Not only does it change you, but it changes those you pray for. I told my dad this morning on the way up here, I said, he don't remember a whole lot of it because he'd passed out, and he just remembers a little bit. But he said, but DC, he said, I thank God for DC because he saved my life. I said, I'm glad you understand that, Daddy, that God's still looking out for you. Sometimes prayer changes the situations. Sometimes prayer changes us. But no matter what, when you pray, it takes it out of your hands and you give it to God and say, here, you do it. Now, how many saw the mighty army this week that said, when you pray, God listens? When you listen, God talks. And when you believe, God works. Maybe not the way you're expecting, but he's not going to leave you hanging. The prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working. The prayer of a righteous man availeth much, James 5:16. Five reasons prayer is difficult. Anybody ever have difficulty praying? I'm raising both my hands. If I make a decision that today I'm going to spend an hour in prayer, I'm singing Sweet Hour of Prayer and can't even do it for 5 minutes. External pressures are allowed to outweigh internal values. You get up there and you start to pray and the phone rings. You start to pray and all of a sudden, you remember that thing you'd forgot the day before, so you start writing it down. And while you're writing it down, you go into something else, and you never got a chance to pray. Or the situation you're in seems so at risk, you can't stop for just a few minutes to pray. I remember I was pastoring at Bath, and a young lady had lung problems. And she was having problems breathing one day during the service. And she stood up and her daddy just started walking out. He just looked at us and started walking out. And I said, "What is it?" He said, "She can't breathe." I said, "Let's pray. She's having an asthma attack." "Let's pray." He said, "We ain't got time to pray. We need to get her to the doctor." It's okay. He went out to the car, lit her, inhaled some of that stuff he had for her. He come back in and said, "I am so, so sorry. Let's pray before I take her to the hospital." Sometimes just knowing you're in the supernatural realm when you pray, it's a battle. It includes that battle. That's why before you get to prayer, it tells you all of the armor to put on, because as you're starting to pray, this stuff's going to come against you. So the rest of the armor helps you when you're trying to fight the supernatural battle to pray. And our faith is always going to be tested. Always. But a faith that's not tested cannot be trusted. And we forget past answers while we focus on our future unknowns. We focus on the problem at hand, and we forget that there's been times where we were in worse shape than we're in now. All we can think about is now. And we're wondering if God's going to come through for us. Didn't he come through the last time? And then finally, technology has made it difficult to be quiet and to be still. I'm trying to pray, get a telephone call. I finally put down the telephone. I'm not on Facebook, but I hear it. When I'm somewhere, I hear it, ding, ding, ding. So here comes Facebook, you're trying to answer this, and somebody, ding, ding, ding. If you got more than one phone, another phone's going off, this phone's going off. And then you're getting ready to pray, and you look on the TV, and there's an episode of Bonanza you've never seen before. And you're walking back to pray, and you look and go, "Wow, how's little Joe going to get out of that?" And before you know it, you've done watched the whole episode of Bonanza. Didn't pray. Wow. Prayer is a very, very powerful thing. Matter of fact, this will bring a tear to your eye. "Dear Lord, I pray for wisdom to understand, love so that I may forgive, patience to deal with all of this. Because Lord, if I pray for strength, I may kill somebody." That reminds me. I heard about this ladies' meeting going on. And the lady said, "How many in here just wanna grab your husband and just snuggle with him?" And the lady stood up and said, Me. And she said, "You want to snuggle with him?" She said, "Oh, well, never mind, keep going. I thought she said wanted to strangle him." Prayer is so valuable because it's available to all, even little bitty children. I've been humbled so many times by my children when I and their mother were having problems, whatever, something going on in the church, something going on in our family, something, and we're talking about it, and sometimes things even seem a little hopeless, and watch little DC and little Daniel say, "Just talk to God." Talk about being humbled. I should be teaching them. They were teaching me. Prayer is powerful. It's available to everybody. Yet, there are times when you underutilize it. Why is it that we don't just jump on in? Well, you see, prayer requires energy. Prayer requires focus. Prayer requires discipline, and it requires time. If it were easy, more people would pray more consistently and perhaps even longer. Them old timers, man, I'd watch them pray, and they would pray and pray and pray. I haven't really seen that like it used to be. Haven't. Prayer is work, but it also brings joy. It brings release because I'm communing with the Creator of the world. I'm going to give you another acrostic. I don't have it written down. But for prayer, just for prayer, here's an acrostic. First, P, praise. Dear God, I praise you because you are our Creator. And then you can even put in His names like Eternal One, All-Knowing, our Provider, All-Powerful, Always with me, Sovereign, Holy, the Way, the Truth, and the Life, Righteous, Just, Unconditionally Loving, Full of Grace, our Comforter, Merciful, Wise, Faithful, Never Changing. Start out by just praising God. Just don't jump in and go, hey, God, I need you. If you got time, just stop and praise Him. Adore Him for a while. The next letter, R, repent. Lord, you're awesome. There's none like you, the great I am. And Lord, first thing, before I ask for my petition, let me ask repentance. God, if there's anything in me that you don't like, forgive me. For you said, if we confess our sins, you are faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Then after you praise and after you repent, then you ask, God, this is what I'm needing right now. I need wisdom. I need understanding. You tell me in Philippians 4:6 not to be anxious about anything, but in every situation with prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, to present my request to you. And that's what I'm doing, God. And then finally, why? You. Thank you. The truest form of faith is to thank God for something even before you get it. I thank you, God, that you heard my prayer. I thank you, God, that you're moving even though I can't see it. I thank you, God, that the answer's coming even if it's not the answer I was expecting. I thank you, God, because you are not going to leave me hanging. Getting ready to close because I want to dig in a little deeper in prayer, but I don't want to get so deep in it today. How many's ever had trouble praying? Felt a little awkward. When I first started praying, I felt so awkward. When I was a little boy in church, there was a certain guy they would ask for. Can't remember his name right now. I just say Brown. The pastor, when he'd ask anybody else to dismiss us in prayer, it was, you know, thank you, Lord, for this wonderful day. Thank you for the sermon. And Lord, let us all go home and have a good time today. Be safe. When they'd ask Brother Brown, he'd stand up and say, everybody bow your heads. And he would preach a second sermon. Whenever I heard his name mentioned in prayer, I'd say, matter of fact, when the preacher was going, who can I get to dismiss us in prayer? I'd always say, God, blind him to Brother Brown. That was my prayer. Blind him to Brother Brown. That's the truth. And Brother Brown would get up and he'd pray for 15 minutes, take a breath, and pray for some more time. By the time he got through, I done forgot what I was going to do when I got home. I done forgot what Mama was cooking. But I found out, although my prayers may seem awkward, they're not awkward to God. Remember me telling you about the daddy walking by the room and his little boy's out there and he's got some building blocks, the ones that had the alphabet on it. He'd go, B, and he'd throw it up and it hit the ground. He'd go, A, and he'd throw it up and it hit the ground. He'd go, Y, and he'd throw it up and hit the ground. And his daddy kept watching. He just kept naming off the blocks and throwing them up and letting them hit the ground. His daddy finally said, son, I've been watching you for quite some time. Can you please explain to me what you're doing? I mean, I'm watching you. You're picking up a block. You're calling out the letter. You're throwing it up. It hits the ground. You wait a minute. You pick up another block, call it out, throw it up, and it hits the ground. And you just keep on doing that. He said, what are you doing, son? He said, I'm praying, Daddy. He said, you're praying? He said, yeah. He said, Daddy, I have no idea what to pray. So I'm just throwing up the letters and let God figure it out. That's coming next week. Our prayers may be awkward. Our attempts may be feeble. When I first got saved, I was He-Man of the universe. I'll let my wife pray. That's a woman's job. If I could tell you how many times I've heard that, my wife does all our praying because it's a woman's job. Really? So we're going to rewrite Ephesians chapter 6. Women praying always. Guys, you sit on the sidelines. Everybody pray. Everybody pray. Our attempts may be feeble, but since the power of prayer is the one thing, it is in the one who hears it and not in the one who says it, our prayers do make a difference. Some of those powerful prayers I heard was from people that had no idea how to even pray. And there's two places you can go that you can hear some really wild stuff. And that's in the nursery, with the kids praying, and in the penitentiary, with the inmates praying. But I watch God move, no matter how crazy it sounds. I remember I had a district overseer. People would say, I just love to hear him pray. Man, I love to hear him pray. My favorite thing is when he says, everybody bow your heads. And so I said, Lord, I want to be like that too. And somebody came to me as I was pastor and said, you know my favorite part of your prayer? I said, what is it? He said, when you say amen. DC, come on up here. I'm asked all the time, how to pray? Tell me how to pray. How can I really pray that's going to be effective and it's going to make a difference? We pray it every Sunday before we do our dismissal prayer. We're going to do it a little early today. We're going to say it together. And if you can find one, get you one of those things to stick in your pocket so you can see it. But I want us to say it together right now. Ready? Y'all say it with me. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. This is a different version. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. That prayer was the number one prayer prayed before they went on Omaha Beach by the Rangers. Talk about powerful. And the reason it's so powerful is because the disciples said, Jesus, we notice your prayers have power, not like the scribes and the Pharisees. Can you teach us how to pray? And that's what he said. That covers all of that P-R-A-Y. Praise and repentance and asking. Faith, thanking him. It's right there. When you don't know what else to do, say that prayer. My wife and I pray that prayer every day. When I go to the detention center, even in the hospitals. You've heard it said you can't improve on perfection. Well,
there's not a whole lot of perfection out there, but this is perfect. And you can't improve on the Lord's Prayer.
So today, tonight, tomorrow, if you can't remember, at least put it on a piece of paper.
Put it in your pocket. And use that when you pray.
You can go ahead and put your other stuff in there too. That's fine. But that one right there covers all the bases. And your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, said when you pray, this is how to do it. I want everybody to stand up. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Nobody looking around. One of the writings, the Jewish writings, talked about what the disciples prayed. They said they went at the hour of prayer and they went to pray two or three times a day. And when it talked about what they prayed,
this is what they prayed, the Lord's Prayer. Wow. I was going to call chaplain
at Pittmore Hospital. I may be in one part of the hospital, my pager go off, and I've got to go to a code blue, or I had to go to a trauma. And I only had seconds once I got in that room to read the room and start ministering to multiple people.
If I could get the people to say the Lord's Prayer with me, it was calming.
It's powerful. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're here today, number one, if you want to get closer to God, you know you need to get closer to God. You know that God has been kind of put on the back burner. You've let excuses way, way, way surpass reasons. And now God
is calling you to put the excuses aside. Stand up and be counted. Because God is coming back soon.
If you're here and I'm talking to you with every head bowed, every eye closed, if you need a closer walk with God, you need to learn how to put the excuses behind you. Step up and be counted by God.
Would you put that hand up? Nobody's going to be looking at you. Put that hand up. Bless them, Lord. Bless them. Bless them. Bless them.
Maybe you're here and life has really been crummy lately. I promise you that every person in this room has had those moments, and some have had more moments than others. But it's in those crummy moments, in that darkness, that God shines the brightest. God wants to be praised. And sometimes in those crummy moments, God's led us through that crummy moment so we'll get our eyes on Him. Because Satan's trying to stop us from praying, stop us from worshiping. We're going to all pray together right now. Together. And we're going to watch what God does. And I guarantee you this week, if every day you can say the Lord's Prayer at least once a day, you will see a difference. And if you'll quit trying to find excuses, you'll also see a tremendous difference. Y'all pray with me. Father, I love you. I thank you for all you do for me. Your grace, your mercy, your love. Help me to go beyond excuses. Stand up and be counted. You did that for me, and I thank you for it. Now let me do that for you. Lord, I ask you right now to help me to rededicate myself to you. And I thank you that these next days and weeks will be powerful, not because of circumstances, but because you in me. And I thank you for it. In the name of Jesus, I rededicate my life to you. Amen. Now let's say the Lord's Prayer, and we get through saying the Lord's Prayer, and we ask Brother Steve to dismiss us in prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven.